Good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. Welcome back to Radio Tony, and this is Artwork You Deserve with Tracy Eaton. We
Hello.
Have the gorgeous Tracy front and center today. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing? Apart from it's been a bit
windy good
stuff today.
It's actually, we had heavy rain last night, like really heavy rain. And it's kind of overcast down here at the moment, so that's good. Now, today we have Payo listening live in the Philippines, ready to respond to any of your questions and comments, and also to send you the links that we want you to jump on and have a look at the gorgeous Tracy's work. And a reminder that you can see the replays of these shows across Binge TV and Hero Go TV in the US and on the Tony TV channel app on all LG, Roku and Samsung smart TVs worldwide. Now, before I start talking to Tracy today, here's a reminder. Tracy Eaton is an Australian modern artist, and even though she was born in New Zealand, she's made Australia her home since 2006. Mind you, not that we can get back to New Zealand at the moment anyway. However, since arriving in Australia, Tracy has become one of our most coveted artists, and her work is in demand around Australia and the globe. She has the exclusive commission to create the artworks for the nominees of the Academy Awards and has done so for the last 3 years. And they're beautiful, I might add.
Thank you.
Now, Tracy loves to do all sorts of wonderfully creative things with her work, and we're going to be particularly talking today about the business of artists and commissioning. And it's very important that we talk about this because often we have misconceptions around what the life of an artist would look like, and we want to challenge and change your thoughts around that. Later in the show, we'll also be unveiling the next stage of our commissioned artwork piece, which I'm always so excited to see. And I'm incredibly grateful to be sharing this journey with Tracy because she's such a beautiful soul, and it gladdens my heart each and every week that we get to talk on the show live. Now, Tracy, this week we wanted to incorporate the business of art because it's quite different. And for art, an artist to survive and make it a business and an income producing one at that, there's things that you have to do and take on that take you away from your beautiful creative brain. So what does the business of art mean for you, Trace? And good morning again.
And good morning to you. And that is a very, very big question. So I've just realised I'm covered in paint. So I'm turning up as the artist today. I've even got it on my head. Woohoo! Awesome.
Brilliant.
the business.
You only
of
just
art.
Put that on your head, by the way.
Oh, did I? Oh, typical. That'll be why. okay,
perfect.
The business of art.
Perfect.
It's very, very interesting because when I first started painting, I was overjoyed with the whole creation process and unleashing that creativity, of course, which is great in itself. It's easy for us to lose our, well, for me to lose myself in that because that's my natural state. Love it. However, very quickly, I realized that for this to become a viable proposition where we can earn a successful and good living from, we have to be more strategic than just giving ourselves up to hanging out and painting. So as an artist, obviously our skill set lies in creating artwork.
Yes.
But as a business owner, there is so much more that I need to know than just how to paint.
Yes.
So I think for myself, I felt quite blessed that I had such a long experience within the corporate sector prior to becoming an artist full time, because what that allowed me to do is learn a whole lot of very necessary and essential skills that I then transferred over into a business that happens to have me as its sole product. Because essentially, and I guess this is the other thing too, the business of art for me was about actually turning my emotions off from what I was creator to a point. So always wearing two hats. One as the artist where I can fully embrace that emotional connection. And the other side is going, okay, as a CEO of a company, what do we need to do to go to the next phase to be successful? What strategies do we need to engage? What processes? Where are my sales coming from? What products are we producing? All those things had to start coming into play. And I found that when I first started, we had some very interesting discussions because the very first thing that I needed to address was that I have a capacity point, which in terms of as the producer, and I'm always going to be the producer in my business. You know, people often say, build your business to a point where you can step away. Well, that's not ever going to be the case for me. And I knew that going into it, but it also, it does mean that I have a point that I can only produce so much at any given period of time. So straight away in business, I was like, well, if that is the case, I need to, there's potentially a couple of strategies that I can engage. The first one is, what is my price point? So if I'm selling, if I'm producing 4 original artworks in a month, for example, I could sell each original for $1,000 and make $4,000 a month, or I could sell that very same painting for $10,000 and make $40,000 a month. Yeah. So that's very simplistic, but essentially that got the idea going about, okay, so we need to make sure the price point covers off not just my time and materials and everything else, but obviously creating a profit because every business needs to have a profit. That was the first stream. The second component was, what else can I do and what else can we generate that is a little bit external of me to produce another revenue source coming through? So, and that one's taken me a little while to get comfortable with doing, purely because I wanted to really focus on custom work and originals. But that's where my prints and my homewares and my book comes into play, because they can be sold external of me. So the business of art, it's all about not just embracing our creativity, but embracing, truly embracing standard and traditional business practice to ensure that we can be the artist that we want to be, as opposed to a hobby artist who's wishing that they could turn their art into a business. Wishing doesn't cut it. And I'm being real blunt with that, but wishing doesn't cut it. Yeah. We have to be clear about what we want.
Proactive.
We have to create, processes and strategies and concepts and ways that we can manage our time, ways we can manage our creative brain versus business brain. Or more, and the way I like to think more, how do we manage our learned skills versus our innate skills? Because that's essentially what we're talking about. So, big question, young Tony.
Tracy, I have dealt with this like when I went into business, and that's the concept of, what do we charge? What's our value? And I'm guessing that that actually took a while for you to embrace, because I realize that there's a certain mindset that we have to overcome to get to that point where you charge, say, $10,000 for a commissioned piece. Do I see the value in your art? Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. But did you see the value in your art at the start, or is that something that's had to grow with your business?
A combination of both, actually. When I first started, knowing that I, and purely having my business hat on, knowing that I had that capacity point, as I said, I made the decision to enter into the market with a higher price point than traditional art sector would probably expect. And it was, I mean, I started off selling from day one between $3,000 and $4,000, right? Now, I had so many people say to me, oh my God, you can't be doing that. No one knows who you are. I'm like, why can't I be doing that? Because if I was in traditional business, I know what my hourly rate would be. I know what my earning capacity was. So why would I work for anything less? So I started in my art business valuing myself based on what I traditionally knew from the corporate sector. So straight away, I was kind of going, no way, I'm not talking to you, Mr. Arts Industry, because I don't agree with what perceptions are out there in the market. However, What has changed is exactly what you said. I still really didn't truly see the value of what I was creating for quite some time.
Yes.
And obviously, yes, the more well-known I've become, the more comfortable I've become with my yes, creative processes and my ability to create, the more important yes, it has become for me to truly value that in a way that is appropriate. So that's kind of where we are now. And I do perceive yes, that will continue to grow and rise in years to come.
Definitely.
I'm nearly 49. I've got years and years and years ahead of me as an artist. And yes, I do perceive that this will continue to increase, which is a very exciting thing for me. And I have to say, for every single person who buys my artwork. Because art is very much an appreciating asset, and very, very few industries can say that. But as an artist, we can say, if you buy, like the artists, the people who bought my work when it was $3,000, yes, I know would be selling now for between $10,000 and $15,000. And so in 4 years, I've managed to have a 300% wow, return. That's huge. Like, that's so cool. And I'm excited that we can offer that as well. So, and to answer your question, I wouldn't have been comfortable having that conversation earlier on. I totally am now. In fact, I'm yeah, very comfortable to have a conversation where my artwork, my originals, are selling for a lot more than that. Yeah.
Which is awesome news, and actually challenges a few concepts. So there's that. It challenges the concept of the struggling artist, but more importantly, from my perspective, it challenges the value and worth of a woman. And I think that that is the most powerful demonstration of women in the art space and creative space getting value that they deserve because of the beauty that they create.
We have to own who we are, regardless of what industry yeah, we're in, and whatever product, and let's face it, I produce a product, but being, once again, removing yeah, the emotion of being the business person, I create a beautiful product, but a product nonetheless, yes, but everything has a value, and if we don't own our own value, then who the hang else is going to?
No like one
it
else.
Has to come from us first. And I've had, and thank no, you for saying that, because I've had many discussions with a lot of emerging artists, predominantly women yeah, actually. Men seem to
yeah,
I don't know, they seem to be successful and find it easier. I don't
from
know
the get
is,
go.
Yeah, but a lot of
yes,
women artists, and they are like, one woman came up to me, she's like, oh, I've sold my first painting. I was like, oh, that is amazing. Congratulations. And I was truly yeah, happy for her. My next question, yes, I couldn't help myself, was, what did you sell it for?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, I got $400 for it. I'm like, no, and I got quite no, frustrated. And I said to her, "Hun, two things there. One, the moment that you by selling your paintings so cheaply, you are not only devaluing yeah, yourself, but you're also devaluing mm-hmm, art as an industry, and why people yes, should respect and respect what we do." I said so. I said, "There's no way. I mean, I couldn't even make a canvas." And stretch yeah, it near on for that amount, let alone my yeah, time, the painting, the whole, like, oh, my God. And I said to her, how long did it take her? That painting took her 2.5 uh-huh, months. So 2.5 months of work and she sells it for $400. So I was devastated. So the business of art, like yeah, I'm actually having another interview this afternoon with a student at doing fine arts degree, which I'm yes, most excited about, because if one of the things that I can create change around is people leaving mm, the university or getting a degree and realizing that they have immense value,
they have value,
and own it and start selling it straight away, it removes the yeah, need for us to have galleries and other people tell us that our art is good enough. Like, oh, yes, my God. I mean,
yes,
I was blown away at the hypocrisy actually of the arts industry.
Yes.
And I'm sorry if this offends yes, people out there, but it truly was, because here we are as creative people, and our creativity shouldn't need yes, to live in a box. We shouldn't be told mm-hmm, what's great and what's not, and this technique is shit and this technique is really good, so use that.
Yeah.
As a creative person, our job is to unleash that creativity in whatever form that takes. So entering into an art space where as visual artists you are told that this is popular, this is trendy, this is what it should look like. Oh no, you are not, your art is not whatever, good enough for whatever reason. That does not wash with me at all. Like, that's not cool. Like, what, don't squash someone's creativity whilst they're starting. Like, no. So soapbox moment. But so yes, the business of art is very much about making sure that people, both the, my clients and artists actually, truly understand that this is absolutely a viable option that you need to own and need to actually put forward as something that you can do really successfully, and that it has value.
Because we should see art as the investment as it is, because art brings with it energy and comfort and reflection and a whole range of things that are very good for the human spirit. And if we don't value culture and celebrate.
We should. It reflects what's going on in the times. You know, you've got people like Banksy, who people know who Banksy is, and he is anti-establishment. That's what he became so well known for. And without people creating messaging like that, music, there's so much, so many messages in music about our times, about what's going on, that without, as a culture, us valuing that, oh my God, we'd be devoid of, devoid of memory, devoid of emotion, and potentially devoid of ways to highlight what is going on and allowing us to move forward. So it's an essential component to who we are
absolutely
as a community.
It should be an essential part and a valued part of life and lifestyle for all of humanity. On that
how
note
would people
about
feel
creativity.
Sorry, I was just going to say, how would people feel if there was no movies? Actors are artists. And we, most of us, sit there and watch TV or watch a movie every night or every other night. How would we feel if that didn't exist anymore? Visual art and music are no different. It's just another way of expressing what we're feeling and what our lives are.
Absolutely. I was going to ask, Tracy, your creative brain is very separate from your business brain, and I know that sometimes it's really difficult for you, and we experience this in the creation of the commissioning project, where you have to stop because we're doing this experiment where we want to show the audience the progress of the commissioned art. So you have to actually stop painting and show us each week what that looks like. And that leads me to that question of how hard is it to stop and move from your creative zone to the business zone? And how do you manage that in your real life?
It's hard both ways, actually. So when I'm in my creative zone, I do find it very difficult to stop, to pull back and the moment my head starts thinking is I know that I've finished a piece. So, of course, in the situation with you right now, I'm painting this much at a time and I know I need to stop. So my head starts engaging and I wanted to keep wanting to put paint to canvas. I'm like, no, stop. So I walk away. Equally so when if I am absolutely immersed in sales or marketing or something that has to happen within my business, whatever it might be, that can also be very difficult for me to turn off because I, like every business owner, I have a concern around cash flow, around new sales leads and opportunities and, you know, what's going to come next. And I'm the one who has to work with the people around me, but I'm still the one who needs to drive that. So it is difficult to switch from one to the other. Yes. So one technique that I made myself form this habit, well, it was two really. One, if you looked at my diary, everything is in my diary. You're painting today. Yes. Like have this conversation with this person. Everything is in there and it's all color-coded. So it looks pretty because I need that visual stimulation. And it also means I very quickly can look at my calendar and go, oh, okay, blue. Oh, my God, I didn't realize I had an appointment. Because it doesn't matter if I forget now because it's in my calendar. My blue is in my calendar as in my appointments. Orange is my painting. Like I've got all these different colors. Yes. color codes. So that was the first thing. Yeah. So I literally divided up my days and my weeks into colors, therefore activities that needed to happen for me to be successful. Because I as a business owner, it's inadvisable for me to paint every day. That's just not – if I do that, my business doesn't grow. In fact, I no longer have a business.
Yes.
What I'm doing is painting for a hobby. The other thing that I did is I thought, okay, how do I ensure that there are days where I have to I can give myself permission to not think about business?
Yes.
And so I just chose that Monday, Wednesday, Friday is my painting days. Tuesdays and Thursdays is my administrative days. So what that means for me is that I can get up on a Tuesday. I'm like, great, I can turn on your computer, start at whatever time you start work and work all day. And if I don't pick up a brush, that's okay. If there's not much on, of course, I'll pick up a brush. But what I do tend to find is I'll answer the phone more readily. I'll ignore the phone Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays and talk to people only when I'm having a break. But those other days I'll pick it up quite comfortably. And from time to time I slip. I have to confess I fully slip on that in both ways. I just do too much of business and then too much of art. That's okay, I'm human. But the strategy's there, the process works, and most of the time it does give you, like when you go on holiday, when you have a day off, you know that the phone's not going to ring, you know that emails aren't coming through, so you literally can just go, I'm done, I don't have to talk to anyone, don't have to see anyone, I can do whatever I want. So invariably, of course, for me, that's painting. So by blocking out my time the way that I do allows me to manage that feeling. So I know that I can get up and go, all righty, today is painting day.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's for you, that's the funnest space to be in is the days that you can paint uninterrupted and just go with whatever.
Really? That is my best day.
Yeah.
I get lots of work done. And I walk away at the end of the day feeling really excited and happy and relaxed. In fact, my partner can always tell when I've had a good day because I'll walk out going, I'm my studio and I'm all happy and excited. And I'm bouncing around. And otherwise I'll walk out and I've got this like sour face on. He's like, bad day in the office today. Because he can always tell. And the bad day happens when I'm not in flow, pure and simple.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Something else that I wanted to touch on before we get a little bit back into the commissioning portion of the work that you do is that creative ability to use your artwork in different areas. So one of the ways you do that is in commissioning of artworks, but there's lots of scope for other things like homewares of different genres. And the creation of solid pieces of art versus painting, isn't there?
It goes beyond that too. In terms of actual physical product, yes, there is paintings, there's limited edition prints, as I said, I've got my book. I will be releasing another one again. I've got a plan. I haven't started it yet, but it's there. I know exactly what the title is and everything. Anyway, book, there are certain homewares, but it also goes into things like doing a live art performance for a VIP launch or designing a gown for someone to wear or like some of the, like a waitress or whatever, if people want to create impact. Body art, so when I did my event around the Oscars, I had two people, two models painted like an Oscar statue. So the first, and they were literally posing like a statue initially. So the first thing people see
when they look
at is these huge lifelike, because they are, statues that are a human.
Yes.
So the ability to think outside the box allows me to approach, like even a business owner that I was talking to this morning, they will be doing a big Christmas launch. So we're like, cool, how can we create something that's really funky and different that people don't expect because it makes them memorable? So that excites me that I feel like I have enough of an understanding about business to know that we need to create something different and unique in the market. But even more cooler is I can actually take my creativity and throw it into anything that I I see, really. That's so true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like for the listeners, I was going to say, for the listeners, if you want to have a look at those gold painted models that Tracy used, jump onto her website, tracyeaton.com, and look for the Hollywood collection, because they're really spectacular. Before I ask you the next question, though, Tracy, how long did it take to paint them gold? It must have taken a while, because I envisioned that it wasn't just one layer.
No, it wasn't one layer. There was two, three layers of paint and glitter.
Yes.
As well. Glitter caught the lights, of course, when people were coming in. So I wanted that at the same time. So I started, my event was at, I think it was like 7 o'clock. I can't remember. I think it was around 7 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I started painting the first one at 6:30 in the morning. So it was a big day. So I literally went running to the event with my dress. I still had my painting clothes on. You'll see there's lots of before and after photos. Actually, I should share
them. Yes, I've seen them. Yes.
I'm literally in really crappy paint-covered clothes, running to my event, get changed there 10 minutes before. And then because no one wanted to leave, I still had to pack it down and everything. So I actually got changed back into my clothes. Like, come on, I love you. Mwah, you've got to go.
Go so I can pack up.
Yeah, exactly. So it took a day, well, a good day to get them done, but they looked awesome.
Yeah, they did. They did. That they're spectacular.
I could only get through one person in a day.
Yeah. Because I guess because it's just one color with the glitter, that's a bit easier than the intricate body art that you do as well.
Yeah,
for the audience, if you want to have a look at the body art in particular of the wedding gown series that Tracy did, it is really, really beautiful because you can hardly tell that the bodice of the gown is painted and the lace forms the rest of the gown, and it's really amazing what you can create if you allow your mind to go there. So back quickly to the commissioning, you do lots of individual commissioning for individuals on a regular basis, i.e. you paint what they need for either a space or around a particular, I don't know, they might have a beautiful favorite chair that they want a painting of. They might have, like, it's endless what Tracy can do via the individual commissioning process, which is what she's doing for me. But in addition to that, there's a much bigger body of work for Tracy around the commissioning for developments. So I'm talking about multi-story units. I'm talking about hotels. I'm talking about motels. I'm talking about conference centers, commercial premises. Is the process for those bigger commissioning projects a little different from the individual one? I'm guessing not only is there a lot more work, but there would be a lot more collaboration with the person commissioning the work?
Yes, there is. I think, let me say first, when I decided to become a full-time artist, talking about the business of what we were doing, I thought that, you know, having painting just because I can is great, but doing custom work, it creates another avenue, particularly within the corporate sector. So all developments, whether it be, like you said, accommodation or tourism, allowed me to create a revenue stream that was larger, broader, and target so many more people, which at the end of the day excites me because so many more people get to see my work. And when people come on holiday, they want to feel good, and I'm helping to facilitate that feel good factor. So the commission, from a development perspective, the process is similar to what you've been through, in that I do really, I treat the development like it's a person. So the more I understand the development, their intentions, their vision, how they want it to feel, the more likely I am to be able to create pieces that fit. And yes, you're right, there is definitely a lot of cross collaboration with multiple stakeholders. So you've got your interior designers, you certainly have like your GMs, your CEOs, and the developers themselves. A lot of the time I liaise directly with them. So there is, you've got your people who supply the furniture and fittings as well, because we want to make sure that it all works together. So that's quite exciting because it's quite a big project to create. It takes quite a bit of work to get it all together.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like to rush that process. I do want to make, and
no.
It's funny though, because art tends to be one of the last things that developers think about. Whereas, of course, in my world, I have to say, a lot of the time, the interior designers, so any designers or decorators out there, if I'm wrong on that, let me know. But my experience to date has been that they either create the interiors, the fixtures, and the fittings and the furnishings, and then art comes on board. So that creates some interesting challenges, because from a budget perspective, there's a tendency for things to be a lot less. Some may or may not have even thought about a budget because, it's just too hard. Don't know what we need. Don't know what we want. We'll just put it in the too hard basket. So engaging someone like myself early on allows me to help them manage that entire thought process and the entire project end to end. So that, we can say, we can make recommendations on the rooms, we can make recommendations for common areas, we can work with the interior designers to say, okay, I get you on this wall and this color palette, how about we throw in here? And by the time they start their build, we've already got a plan in place. So it's much easier. And then it's all it is about me managing the time to paint them, obviously.
Yes.
And then we start production, literally start the production of the originals and the prints. I also have a team who helps with any delivery and installation. In fact, as I said last week, we do like to be involved in install as much as possible, but when it comes to commercial and developments, categorically want to be involved. So, be more involved. And it can take, I turned over we had a small development, there was 75 prints.
Wow.
Four originals. So I had 6 weeks to create that.
Yeah.
So we can definitely do it. Some of the larger projects, a lead time for me of 12 to 18 months is fantastic. If I don't have it, I just work harder. That's fine. I just paint in the middle of the night. It's no big deal.
Tracy, I was going to say, some of those big paintings, like I'm thinking for foyers or reception areas, they can be meters and meters by meters and meters. So that's a substantial product for you to produce. So, yes, lead time would incredibly be very important. I know that when I was managing building and refurbishing for the Queensland government, they actually always had a portion of the budget that was allocated to art and artwork. So I'm guessing it's a little different in the private sector, but I know in the government that there was an idea that art was important, particularly some of those big hospital redevelopments. The art and the artwork was always a budgeted portion of those projects, an important consideration, particularly if you think about, children's hospitals and things like that, where you're looking for, colours that will improve their outcomes and the feeling of the way that they feel. That's another thing that art is an important consideration, is that it will impact the way you feel when you walk into that room. So if you've got a development that is a, let's say, I don't know, a retirement home, then the artwork for that needs to be calming and gentle. Whereas if you've got a nightclub, well, you can go to town, can't you?
Well, yes, but even within using your example of a retirement home, I would say suggest to you that depending on where we're going, I'd actually put some really beautiful, fun, energetic pieces in the right place too, to lift the mood as well. Because you don't always want to be calm. Yeah. So if you want to create that, that's great, but sometimes we need a bit of like oomph as well. So I would certainly incorporate the both. And I think bringing a point that you just raised, I think there definitely are developments who do see the value of art, and a lot of them will have a component in their budget. I know that engaging early with them, however, really reinforces the impact that art and colour can have in their space. So I find that a lot of developments love the idea of being modern and retro and funky. When I look around, I'm like, well, yeah, but with the burst, like, there was a developer I was looking at, that was the brief. I wanted it to be kind of retro and fun. When I looked at the furnishings, I'm like, well, that's traditionally retro fun. You know, if you're targeting a millennials, for example, or a younger market, let's turn it up a little bit because you can. Like the W Hotel is a great example of that in Brisbane and Emporium in Brisbane. They have absolutely outstanding. It's not everyone's taste. They do. Not necessarily mine, but it's exquisite and it's memorable and it's engaging and people will remember it. And that's the whole point of custom work. Yes. In fact, that's the whole point of art in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings me back to that adaptability of art. And again, just bringing in your adaptability around commissioning pieces. I know that one of my favorite things of the things that you've created is that beautiful bespoke wallpaper in a main bedroom retreat. And I remember talking to you about, oh my God, did you create that? And you explained to me. So I was hoping you'd explain to the audience about the creation of the wallpaper for that main bedroom.
Wallpaper is really fun because wallpaper is making a bit of a comeback anyway. So why not mix it up a little bit and turn it into an art wallpaper or a more artistic wallpaper?
Yes.
So what my process is relatively straightforward, really, is the usual process that you've experienced with creating a piece for you. I go through that. We do have a stock product that you can order, but my preference always is to create specifically for that environment. But if someone goes, I just don't want to deal with that, I just want to buy that, thanks, off the shelf, we have pieces, you know, we have designs for that. But what it does do is it creates, we photograph the original once it's painted, we scan that onto normally commercial grade wallpaper because I want it to be quite textured and solid and strong. And then we obviously hang that. Now, to throw something else into the mix as well, if it's appropriate, I will also then hand embellish that wallpaper. So
I was going to ask that.
In sections, so I can, so I can bring in texture, my gold leaf, my all the things that I love about how I paint. I really can enhance that on the wall, literally on the wall. So people have said to me, why don't you just paint it like on the wall? I'm like, well, I can. But wallpaper can be wiped down. Wallpaper has got longevity. And as I said, I don't have the opportunity really. If I'm doing it once, it's a one-off. Well, that's fine. I'm happy to do like I did a cafe recently, painting on the wall. Yes. But a wallpaper is just a bit fun and it's relatively easy to change.
It's beautiful.
But quite frankly, if you get sick of it, you just rip it down or wallpaper over it. Like it's fun.
Yes.
So from a commercial standpoint, if you wanted to use wallpapers, you could have the wallpaper behind the bed head in every room. There's your artwork right there. The art piece is done. The colours vibe is there. And then when you do your refreshes every 4 or 5 years, as they do, just change it up. Mm-hmm. So it creates a lot of flexibility. So the process is relatively straightforward, but it's just takes a bit longer. Yeah. And we use a specialist installer as well because it's really important, particularly with art wallpapers, that everything is perfectly aligned.
Perfectly aligned.
And when I do a custom piece, I will make the painting the exact ratio of the wall because then I'm not losing anything.
Yes, okay. So, Tracy, could people, if they picked any of your paintings and decided that they wanted that in a wallpaper for some space in the home, you can do that though, yeah?
Not any of my paintings, no, because not all of my paintings are pre-production. So I have released a few of the Hollywood collection for prints. So those I'm happy to create on a wallpaper, no problem. I will soon be releasing a range that is creating that is print specific. So I paint original artwork because I can. Some of them will stay original. Some of them I'll be using for a print range. Any of those when they come out, no problem whatsoever. So it depends on what ones they're wanting. Yes.
Yeah. But the thing is, too, that just as you can create exclusive one-off paintings, Conversely, you can create exclusive one-off wallpapers that nobody else is going to see anywhere else.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so if those contestants on the block,
the original or the wallpaper, or both, or they just have the wallpaper, will sell the original.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about the block and thinking, gosh, if those guys wanted to do a winning room, then that's the way they do their wallpaper, isn't it? Not pick something that's, you know, ready-made. They would pick something bespoke. And Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Definitely, because, you know, there's not a lot of uniqueness in this world, and the ability for you to create that uniqueness and exclusivity for your clients is a pretty cool talking point, as well as having something you know that no one else is going to have. Yeah.
I go through these phases, and I think, oh, I'd love to have the time to just paint because I feel like it. But the reality is, I also, as I've said before on the show, I love painting custom work. Just, I love it because I'm creating for you, and I know that. So there's a lot of love that goes into each one of those things, because I'm like, oh, I'm painting for you. You know, in your case, I'm painting for you.
Yeah.
So I know you.
Yes.
And it feels good.
Yes.
So, yeah. Interestingly, though, I must say that every original piece of art that I've done, so I've just, you know, a piece that I've painted because I feel like it, I always find the right person. So have I told you the story about the piece that was yellow and black that went to a gentleman?
No.
Okay.
No, tell me.
As an aside, I know we'll run out of time again. Always do.
Yeah.
At my Oscars event in 2020, I had a piece that was bright orange and yellow with lots of black, very abstract, black shapes and very, very vivid and strong. At the end of the auction, because it was a live auction, at the end of the auction, a couple came up to me and a gentleman was talking to me, and he said, that piece is amazing. I was like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then he said, I just need to let you know that I'm colorblind. I don't see color, but I see that piece. I was like, oh, my God. So I instantly got a group. He unfortunately was unsuccessful in that bid. So I created a piece that was very similar, same colours, and, you know, it was smaller and whatever else. But how could I not have piece was for him? Oh, my God. And I obviously never know the person who's going to be purchasing my work. Another quick story is another couple. He's a concreter, came into an exhibition I was having, and I had a piece that looked like concrete, textured, was rough, and it had a couple making love on it, and they were all outlined in white, and it was called As One. I didn't realise this, but he purchased that pretty much straight away. And when I was talking to him after, him and his partner always use that term, As One. As like that's how they see each other. So I painted it, named it, and the moment he saw it, he loved it because of his job and the color. And then the moment he read it and saw that, the name of it, he's like, I'm in. The point is, that is the joyous part of what I do, is that no matter what I'm doing, whether it be custom work or painting an original, they always, always go to the right person, which is just so incredible.
And it's, there's that spiritual, creative intuition that is so present through your artwork, Tracy. Like, I can see it and feel it. Now, audience, I've been to Tracy's place and I've seen a lot of her beautiful artwork, and I tell you, there's an energy that when you stand in front of that artwork, and Tracy's got all sorts of different pieces in her home gallery. There's a beautiful, big, tall one that's done in resin that is, it's mesmerizing is the way that I describe it. And then you walk down the hallway towards the front door, and there's a beautiful embellished green paintings that just make you instantly feel like you've been walking in a cool rainforest and they envelope you with an energy that is cooling and beautiful. So when I talk about this and when I'm passionate about Tracy's work, this is why. This is the interaction that I've never seen or experienced with other artists before. It only has happened to me when I'm with Tracy or in Tracy's space or in her gallery, and it's a very intuitive spiritual energy that comes out from her paintings and work that envelopes you. And I know that for some people listening, that will be immensely important for you and for builders and developers. If you could have that energy in your foyer so that when people walk in and experience that energy and spirit and go, oh my God, I have to come back to this hotel again and again and again, that's what you get with Tracy Eaton exclusives. That's what you get. It's a beautiful energy.
Thank you, Tony, because I always feel that art isn't a pretty picture on a wall. To me, it's not that at all.
No.
And I think it is about making sure that someone feels something. And I know I've done my job and yes. they do. And I feel like that yeah. even though business-wise it wasn't necessarily the most strategic decision, I feel yeah. like that's why it's taken me so long to release.
It's hard to put into money, isn't it?
It's a separate brain. But I felt like that I could only give that amount of energy with original work. So it took
yes,
me a while to figure
I
out
agree.
How I can have some of that in a print. Mm. And you can have some of it, but original work is all
yes.
encompassing. So thank you for feeling that.
Yes.
Because that makes me feel very humbled in thinking that I've achieved what I
absolutely
intuitively planned to do. So that's exciting.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks,
now,
man.
Before we run out of time, my darling, we yes. have to see the next stage of the painting.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, sorry. Okay. Now, I'm going to be asking you guys to see today. I'm going
yes.
to close up first. I've started on the water. And all on the base.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But this is how
we can.
Everything is up on the website, by the way, so you can see some close-ups now.
Yes. Yes.
Can you see that, right?
We can. Yes, that's perfect. Right there's good.
Okay, so
I can see
right.
the darkness of the lines and.
We've got some land coming out in the background. There is
yes,
a
definitely.
So this is there's two tones of land that's got to be developed more. There is some glitter,
yes.
of course. And this will be the lightest area, including onto the sand
yes.
or the hills.
Yes.
I've started to add in some colour to create reflection from the sky.
Yes.
So close up, you'll see you've still got your aquas and your pinks and a little bit of the pale white
yes.
coming through. What I
yeah.
really, really wanted to do, which I had to stop myself, is start building in the texture and the light. And now it's now time to start creating all
yes.
of the highlights. And as I say, adding some of the palette knifing and the texture that I really desperately
yeah.
wanted to keep on doing. No,
yes.
So, I didn't.
So now after this show, Tracy is free to finish it off. Often do what she needs to do. And again, just for the audience, it's been such a challenge for the poor darling to stop so that we could show you the progress and show you what goes into commissioned work. And you can see the layers as they're building and the light as it's coming through and the colors as they're coming through. And we started with that beautiful faint light grey, blue background, and now you're starting to see the depth arise and the dimension arise, because I can feel that even just I can't see it actually physically, I only see it on the camera, but you can see and feel the dimension of it starting to rise. It always looked like something, but I now find myself walking up the back ramp coming in my side door and looking at that space where the painting will go and feeling its essence already and going, oh my God, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. And so what will happen is next week we'll show you what it looks like, and then separately and after the show series finished, we're going to do the hanging and the space and all of that, because I want to make sure that people get to see what it looks like in its final home and the space and energy that it gives to that space within my home. So you get to see the whole journey and experience that whole journey, which I think is very important for people to see why art is so important and why what Tracy does is so incredibly important to humanity. I can almost feel the embellishment of the sand, because Tracy described to me how she incorporated the sand in the land at the bottom of the painting, and I'm going to find it irresistible not to touch it. And of course, it's finished, it'll be sealed and touchable, sealed and touchable. But yes, I'm sure that I will want to feel that as well. Tracy, thank you so much. Listen, before we run out of complete time, the other thing that I wanted to quickly remind people is that if you've got a really special event coming up, so an opening, a book launch, anything that's really special, Tracy has the capacity to create unique and custom-made gowns. So, you know, we talked about the beautiful blue Oscars gown in the background of our shows each week. Just a reminder to the audience that Tracy has that capacity to create gowns for you for that special occasion. And if you were to engage Tracy to do that, no one else is ever going to have that dress. No one's going to be able to copy it at any level. It's uniquely yours. And then it becomes an artwork in its own right, doesn't it, Trace?
It certainly does, and it's so much fun. I think, like I said last week, I love the fact that it's so 360. So no matter where you look at it from, it's its own little piece of art in every position. So that's quite fun to create that way. Yeah. So, yes, I'm very happy to talk to anyone about creating something fun and unique for them. We'll let you know it's going to be.
Because you can put – I was just going to say, we talked about that last week about the team having to hot glue you into your dress. But that's
part and parcel. I promise that you won't have to be hot glued in. I promise you won't do that to you. That's just for me, that experience.
Yes. That's right. That's exactly right. But you can see in the background there that that dress is a beautiful piece just by itself, and it's just on a mannequin. So the whole idea that you could encase it in glass and place it in a special spot in one of your rooms of your house and have it there remaining forever. And you can always look on it and go, oh, my God, I remember that night. I remember how I felt. I remember what it was celebrating. It's encased in a memory that relates back to a wonderful time in your life. So I didn't want to finish the show without reminding people that that's another area that Tracy works in. And similarly, for any sort of homeware that you might think about, you might want to create a dinner set to commemorate a milestone wedding anniversary or anything like that. Those sorts of things make unique and amazing gifts, because no one's going to be able to replicate that for anyone. Ever. So there's lots of scope with your art, Tracy, to be completely creative and do pretty much whatever you want. And you're up for that,
So up for that. I think I've said this before. There's a lot of discussion around, and I've been told by many people that I need to choose a particular style. I said that, and I still can't do that. It's just not, just not me.
I agree.
I'm far too expensive for that. So embrace the expensiveness, which means I can do whatever I want to do. And why should we not? We only have one life, so we need to make sure we are living it in the best possible way we can.
And who wouldn't like to inherit a beautiful piece of artwork. So it hands down through the centuries from mum, from grandma to granddaughter to, you know, what a wonderful thing. So that's, that can also be incorporated into the legacy of your life as well.
Yes, exactly. Amazing. I'm making
sure. Wow. My wonderful audience, Tracy and I have run out of time yet again. We will be back next week where we will be unveiling the final commissioned work for you to see and talking a lot of other things about the beautiful work that Tracy does. Tracy, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Once again, we will be back next week with another episode of Artwork You Deserve. Thank you, Tracy. Bye for now, everyone. Bye.